Blog Talk Radio.
I've ever had ever on Secular Talk. Forget about it. Forget about it. I got every time I get like 0.3 seconds off, like the biggest stories in the world break. We had the scandal involving Donald Trump, and then we had the Hillary Clinton transcripts leak. So I mean, we had a debate last night. I can't even open the show with discussing the debate. First, I got to discuss the Wall Street transcripts. Then I got to go to Trump's comments with Billy Bush on Access Hollywood or the hot mic moment. And then I could discuss the debate. So super duper duperty duper busy show. I'm going to do my best to not take a break. We'll see if I can go an hour and 30 minutes without taking a break. I can't promise it, but we're going to do our best because I really got to try to get all this in, and I think it's impossible. So anyway, let's get started here. And Hillary Clinton's up to bat first, and it's the Wall Street transcripts. I had to go through all of the different ones that we have. We had excerpts from some of the speeches to Goldman Sachs, some to other, you know, big banks and stuff like that. And I'm going to give you the most interesting parts, the most damning parts. And we're going to break it down, and we're going to discuss it. So no more teases. Let's jump right into it. We're off. Hillary Clinton's Wall Street speech transcripts have been released. At least excerpts of them have been released by WikiLeaks. And this includes her infamous Goldman Sachs speeches. So we're going to dive in here in a second. But before I actually do that, let me just say that there's one that it is a fake. Now, this one, to my knowledge, was actually not released by WikiLeaks, but it was an old fake that right-wing blogs ran with, and then what people did is they started to send this one out again as well, saying it was attached to the rest of the actual leaks from WikiLeaks, when it's not true. So that one specifically is a back and forth between her and Lloyd Blankfein, where she talks about how Bernie supporters are a bucket of losers, and she says things like, you know, we all know for the longest time that Republicans were the party of Wall Street, but now that's changing. So she made comments like that. What, a friend of mine sent me that portion of it, and as I was reading through it, I was like, I don't know, man. It almost sounded too perfect to be real. Like, it is a caricature of what one would think she would say in that scenario. And it turns out it's true. It was a fake that was floating around the internet way before these actual leaks. And also, let me just say, if you're one of the idiots who tried to release that with the batch of the actual speech transcripts, you do realize you just fucked everything up, right? Because now what you did is you gave the media plausible deniability to say, we don't know if any of them are real. We don't know if any of them are real, so we're not going to discuss them in any way, shape, or form. So in an attempt for you to, like, pile on and be even extra angry at Hillary, you actually made it so that you might net help her, because now the media is much more cautious to discuss it since some of the releases were fake, and they're trying to, you know, put that on top of the WikiLeaks leaks and say it's from the batch when it's not. So that was the one fake one. Now let me give you the real ones, and they're bad enough. You don't need the fucking fake one to get angry about this. So, let's start. Quote, you just have to sort of figure out how to, getting back to that word, balance, how to balance the public and private efforts that are necessary to be successful politically, and that's not just a comment about today. I mean, politics is like sausage being made. It is unsavory, and it always has been that way. But we usually end up where we need to be. But if everybody's watching, you know, all the backroom discussions and the deals, you know, then people get a little nervous, to say the least. So you need both a public and a private position. Pretty damning. She's admitting, yeah, when I say stuff in public, it can be an outright lie. Why? You need a public position, you need a private position. Hey, you got to get stuff done. The way the sausage is made is gross. You don't want the normal peasant seeing that. You know, us high-minded elites who run society, we get to know how messy the process is. But, I mean, to just make it simpler and make it easier and get people off our ass, you have to have a public position and a private position. And then she turns around and expects you to believe that she's against TPP, for example. She lobbied for it 45 times. This was back when she was Secretary of State, and she wasn't thinking about a future presidential run. And then the second she decided, okay, let me do that, all of a sudden, because of pressure from Bernie Sanders, and actually also some pressure from Donald Trump, she's like, oh, no, TPP, terrible, man. I hate it. It's not like I called it the gold standard and pushed for it 45 times. This is my new public position. Are you guys buying it? Ugh. Man, Clinton 101, and that's what's so frustrating about it. Is again, the thing that makes me want to bang my head against the wall when it comes to Hillary Clinton is that she thinks that we can't see this in her. Hillary, we have you pegged. We knew it from day one. Just like with other speech transcripts that leaked and meetings with donors, she has this idea of like, No, you silly millennials don't understand my philosophy. If you understood my philosophy, then you'd agree with me. No, we get your philosophy and we don't like it. You're far too centrist, you're far too corporatist, you're far too establishment. And then you sell it to us as if like, well, this is as far left as any reasonable person can go within our system. But that's not true. That's not true. So it's not that we don't get your philosophy. We understand it, and we reject it. Because of stuff like this. You know, you need a public position and a private position. Okay, more. Now, it's important to recognize the vital role that the financial markets play in our economy, and that so many of you are contributing to. To function effectively, those markets and the men and women who shape them have to command trust and confidence, because we all rely on the market's transparency and integrity. So even if it may not be 100% true, if the perception is that somehow the game is rigged, that should be a problem for all of us, and we have to be willing to make that absolutely clear. Here we go again. More condescending, pedantic bullshit. Well, I mean, again, the peasants, they might not understand all this stuff, but they may wrongly have the feeling that this stuff is rigged, and we have to feign concern over that. Oh, I'm so sorry that you think it's rigged. You want to know why people think that, Hillary? Because it's rigged. Look at the way the system works. You and your politician buddies, Democratic and Republican, take money from corporations and rich donors. Then when you get in office and when you get in power, you turn around and do favors for them and snub your constituents. You know, Hillary, there's a reason why people elect Congress. Oh, these are the people we love. Let's elect them. And then you go back and do a poll a month later, and they have a 9% approval rating. That's not a thing anywhere else. You don't buy a TV, and then a month later, somebody asks you if you like it, and you go, fucking hate it. Can't stand it. Because you know what somebody would do if they don't like the TV they want? I'm going to return and get a new one. So, but when it comes to Congress, you know the day that you elect them. I'm really just going for the lesser of two evils every single time here. I know this guy's going to fuck me. I know that guy's going to fuck me. That could be used out of context in a bad way. So, this is how it is, and this is what it's going to be, and I guess we just have to live with it. I mean, look at what happened during the financial crisis. Look at what happened during the Great Recession. You had Wall Street get bailed out to the tune of billions of dollars. Now, there wasn't a bailout for Main Street. I mean, the market tanked. We were in free fall. And it's not like they said, we need to rush in to try to keep people in their houses and bail out the people. No, it was a bailout for the people who crashed the economy, made the horrific decisions, and bankrupted their own companies. Why? Because they paid their bribes. So is that, evidence that the system is rigged? Of course it is. Of course it is. It's not like when your local dry cleaner goes under, they rush in and say, oh, God, we need bailout, bailout, bailout. It's not like when your deli goes under, oh, my God, bailout, bailout. But when your fucking community bank or credit union, oh, we need to give them money because they're in trouble. But when it's Wall Street and when it's the biggest banks and biggest financial institutions, then they do it because, again, they paid their bribes. If that ain't rigging, what's rigging? I mean, we've discussed the overall economic income inequality numbers, and not just in the U.S., but worldwide. The richest 62 people have more wealth than the bottom 50% of the world. 62 people, more than 3.5 billion. They didn't just work harder. That system is fucking rigged. That's what it is. But she's, oh, yeah, what? I mean, even though it's not true that it's 100% rigged, I mean, we got to express sympathy and pretend like we're on people's side. All right, more. Today there's more that can and should be done that really has to come from the industry itself and how we can strengthen our economy, create more jobs at a time where that's increasingly challenging. To get back to Teddy Roosevelt's square deal, there's nothing magic about regulations. Too much is bad, too little is bad. How do you get to the golden key? How do we figure out what works? And the people that know the industry better than anybody are the people who work in the industry. Okay, understand what she's saying here. She said it at two different points. It has to really come from the industry itself, and the people that know the industry better than anybody are the people who work in the industry. In other words, she's saying, Wall Street, smartest guys in the room. You guys understand the financial regulations and the financial system better than anybody, so what we need is you guys to do the dirty work and clean up the mess and regulate. But Hillary, they're the ones who corrupted the system. They're the ones who bought the politicians. They're the ones who maybe understand the rules, but they understand them because they're used to evading them. So, I mean, you want to talk about the fox guard and the hen house. She's saying that's her philosophy. She's telling a room full of rich pricks on Wall Street, you guys are the answer. You guys are the ones who know this better than anybody else. You guys are the ones who are going to get us out of trouble when we're in trouble. You guys are the ones who are the experts on regulation. But you have it exactly backwards. That's the worst possible thing you can say. She doesn't get it. I mean, this is neoliberalism 101. All right, more. Part of the problem with the political situation, too, is that there's such a bias against people who have led successful and or complicated lives. You know, the divestment of assets, the stripping of all kinds of positions, the sale of stocks, it just becomes very onerous and unnecessary. Oh, here we go. So now she's going with the classic Republican line, and a stupid line even among Republicans. The idea of bigotry against the rich. Oh, my God. The peasants are so bigoted against us rich people. She says there's a bias against people who have led successful and or complicated lives. And then she explains, because, I mean, come on, when we get certain positions, we got to divest assets and we got to, sell stocks and all this stuff. You don't understand why you have to do that if you're in a high position of authority in government. You don't get it. You don't understand that there's massive, massive conflicts of interest for the president, for example, to have a tremendous amount of money in a certain stock. I mean, they have so much power, they can obviously do favors they're in bed with financially. And she's making it seem like I'm such a victim for having to follow ethics rules. Now you see the fucking mindset, how the Clintons have raised over $3 billion from special interests in their careers. Now you see it. Now you see the hubris and the mindset that makes Hillary couldn't go around accepting over $600,000 in speeches for Goldman Sachs, accepting millions of dollars in speeches for all different institutions. Because they view it as, I'm entitled. What are you talking about? I mean, if you don't like me getting massively rich and snubbing constituents and doing favors for special interests, well, then you just have a bias against successful people. And then she's going to turn around and pretend to care about the little guy. right now. This shows you don't care about the little guy when you don't even understand the rationale behind basic ethics rules. Rules that try to prevent conflicts of interest. And the fact that you view those as, just a hurdle I got to jump over, as opposed to a very fundamental cornerstone of democracy that keeps the integrity of the democracy in place. All right, let me give you a few more here on Social Security. Quote, Simpson Bowles put forth the right framework. Namely, we have to restrain spending, we have to have adequate revenues, and we have to incentivize growth. It's a three-part formula, and they reached an agreement. But what is very hard to do is to take that agreement if you don't believe that you're going to be able to move the other side. All right, so for those of you who don't know, Simpson Bowles was a right-wing plan and a right-wing meeting where they came up with a framework by which we can gut Social Security and Medicare. So, oh, my God, the debt is so bad. Debt. First of all, obviously, we only have to cut shit for you. I mean, come on, military spending, pork barrel spending, corporate welfare. Pfft, grandfather that in, bitch. We're not cutting that. But you, oh, grandma's got to take a pay cut. So what are we going to do? Gut Social Security, gut Medicare, gut Medicaid. And they set up a framework by which they do that. And they pose it as, oh, we're just being prudent and fiscally responsible. And we're just trying to save Social Security for the next generation. So they frame it in flowery terms of like, we have to do it. And we're being so kind by saving it for the next generation, when really they're coming to screw you. Because remember, it's called an entitlement program because you're entitled to it because you paid into it, so you're getting back what you paid in. But they want to say, no, okay, everybody who paid in all these years, maybe we just don't give it back to you later on. Or maybe we give you back much less. And we'll frame it as we're helping you as we do that. And what does Hillary say? Rock and roll. Yeah, no, that's, I like that. I love that. That's a philosophy I can get behind when it comes to reforming Social Security, cutting it, doing the grand bargain. This is what Obama tried to do, and the Republicans rejected it. So we were actually only saved by Republican arrogance and hubris, because there are some people who said, no, that's not enough cuts. We want to go further. So they blocked it because they wanted more cuts. Hillary Clinton saying, I'll propose the same deal as Obama. Yeah, let's cut Social Security and Medicare. So again, we're going to have to rely on, hopefully, insane Republicans saying, no, I'm not going to sign on to this because I want more cuts. I mean, these are the two parties. Nobody's saying, hey, let's actually keep Social Security the same or expand it. I mean, Bernie Sanders argued that. But Hillary Clinton, you can see behind closed doors, she's willing to make a deal. And again, she says the problem is getting the other side to sign on to it. So in other words, the problem is the Republicans blocking it because they want to go further. But yes, I agree, let's cut Social Security. All right, and finally, on Keystone and trade, she said, quote, so I think that Keystone is a contentious issue. And of course it is important, on both sides of the border for different and sometimes opposing reasons. But that is not our relationship. And I think our relationship will get deeper and stronger and put us in a position to really be global leaders in energy and climate change if we worked more closely together. My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders. Sometime in the future with energy that is as green and sustainable as we can get it. I think we have to have a concerted plan to increase trade already under the current circumstances, and we have to resist protectionism, other kinds of barriers to market access and to trade. And I would like to see this get much more attention and be not just a policy for a year under President X or President Y, but a consistent one. Well, there you have it. So behind closed doors, she's for Keystone, the Keystone XL pipeline, and behind closed doors, she says, look, my dream is a open marketplace in our hemisphere, and open trade, open borders, and we have to resist protectionism. So all the I'm against TPP shit is utter bullshit. It's utter bullshit. I told you. You know what she's going to do when she gets in there? She goes, oh, look, I was against TPP. Of course, I was against it. I told you guys I was against it. We changed two or three provisions, so now it's not the same deal. So it's better now. Now I'm in favor of it. That's what she'll do. And she'll cover her ass by saying, it's not the same deal. I don't know what you're talking about. I changed the deal. I'm not against all trade. I guess you're against all trade because you don't like this new version of TPP. It's unbelievable, man. And it shows they don't get it. You want to know why? Because in the circle she runs in, all of her rich buddies want to do more outsourcing deals, free trade. Because those are all the people giving her money, and she's doing their bidding. And they tell her, it's lovely. I'm so much richer than I was before because I get to outsource my jobs and pay people, you know, 18 cents an hour instead of paying them a living wage here in the U.S. And she's disconnected from the struggling working class who did lose their job over these deals when her husband signed NAFTA, for example, and she supported it. So, yet again, everything Bernie Sanders said about Hillary Clinton, everything we knew about Hillary Clinton based on her record, is true. It's true. It's 100% true. And you know, because this is what she says behind closed doors. Behind closed doors, she couldn't let the flag fly higher. And there's another part where we didn't get to it, but basically what she says is, we need two pragmatic, moderate, centrist parties. In other words, hey man, look, me, I'm a hawkish, centrist, corporatist. I am the establishment. She lets that flag fly behind closed doors, man. That's what it is. And now you know it. And the only thing that I saw in the leaks that was a positive development is at one point she just flat out argues in favor of single-payer health care. I was floored by it. But what she says is, look, it's the best systems. They're just the best systems. So at least she can acknowledge the evidence that it's true that those are the best systems. But as we learned from the speeches to donors that we discussed last week, released by The Intercept, we learned that she basically also believes it's not going to happen. We can't do it because we can't get it through. So let's kind of like give up on that. Points for realizing it's the best system. No points for saying I'm not going to fight for it. So overall, this is disastrous, and this shows you Hillary Clinton's true colors, and it's exactly what you thought they were all along. Okay. I'm 21 minutes in, and I haven't even gotten to the debates, and I still can't get to the debates yet. All right, hold on here. I have to, what the fuck is going on? Where's my cell phone? It was going off in the middle of me talking, which is not a good state of affairs, if I don't say so myself. There it is. Okay. Okay. Much better. All right, that was the Hillary Clinton scandal. Now let's go to the new Donald Trump scandal. The Donald Trump one is admittedly less about policy, but this is a character attack that I actually agree with. So let's discuss it. We have a video leak here involving Donald Trump. He was on Access Hollywood with Billy Bush, and he had a hot mic moment where he said some really questionable things.
I moved on her, actually. You know, she was down in Palm Beach. I moved on her, and I failed. I'll admit it.
Whoa.
I did try and fuck her. She was married.
You
did,
Sarah.
No, Nancy. Yeah. No, this was... And I moved on her very heavily. In fact, I took her out furniture shopping. She wanted to get some furniture. I said, I'll show you where there's some nice furniture. I took out furniture. I moved on her like a bitch. But I couldn't get there. And she was married. And all of a sudden, I see her. She's now got the big phony tits and everything. She's totally changed her look.
She's your girl's hot as shit. In the purple.
Whoa!
Yes!
Whoa!
Yes! Out of the short!
Whoa!
Oh, my man!
Wait, you gotta look at me when
this
you got
really
your
thumbs
up.
That is
very. Will you give me the thumbs up?
You are.
You gotta put the thumbs up.
You gotta get the thumbs up.
You can't be too happy.
Yeah, let me. You gotta give me the thumbs up.
You and I will walk in.
Oh, my
God.
Maybe it's a different one.
Better not be the
problem.
No, it's her.
Yeah, that's her. With the gold. I've got to use some Tic Tacs just in case I start kissing her. You know, I'm automatically attracted to beautiful. I just start kissing them like a magnet. It's just me. But I don't need to wait. And when you're a star, they let you do it. You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab them by the pussy. I can do anything.
Yeah, okay, so let's break this down. From the top, he says, talking about, I don't know, somebody he was working with at the time, I did try and fuck her. Now, the argument from the Trump campaign today is, and over the weekend was, well, look, locker room talk. That's what it is. It's locker room talk. So far, yeah, that does fall under the category of locker room talk, although you do understand that at the time he was married and the woman he was trying to fuck was married. Again, I'm not somebody to make the family values argument. I really largely don't give a shit what you do with your dick or your genitals in general. But they say they do. So there is massive hypocrisy because evangelical Christians, one of the first things they care about, oh, tell them about your moral values and how you treat your family because that speaks to your character. So we got to make sure you ain't no kind of homo or nothing like that. Got to make sure you ain't an adulterer and nothing like that. And this just, you know, proves that he is that. So, again, this isn't something where liberals should be, oh, I'm so outraged. But it is something where you should say to evangelical Christians, wait, you say you care about this, so now why don't you care about it? Imagine for a second this was a tape of President Obama saying it before he became president. There wouldn't be a single evangelical Christian in the country who didn't lose their mind. They would be calling for investigations and prosecutions. I mean, are you kidding me? The first black president before he became the first black president saying, yeah, I tried to fuck her. Talking about somebody who was married while he was married. We all know they would care. We all know, but when it's Donald Trump, because hypocrisy is not a thing to them. When they violate their own moral code, I meant well, so whatever. No, but again, if you say you care about these things, then fucking care about them. Mike Pence, super Jesus-y. What's he doing? Sticking right by Donald Trump after this tape. Okay, so that's the first point. I don't care, no liberal should care, but you should point out to evangelical Christians, you say you care about stuff like this, so why don't you care now? Why don't you care? Because you're a fucking hypocrite, and you don't actually care when it's you. You just want to use those arguments against people you disagree with politically. Okay, so that's the first thing. I do file that under locker room talk. You could say, I don't, you know, if you believe in that kind of philosophy that the personal lives matter, you could say, I don't like that Trump would do something like this. Then a little worse. I better have some Tic Tacs because sometimes I just start kissing women. I don't really get that. Like, what is that? I don't know exactly what that means. Like, okay, you pop Tic Tacs, then you just, like, randomly mid-conversation, boom, you're going in. But that is kind of what he means. Like, okay, mid-conversation, that's, like, sometimes I just start kissing them. It's like a magnet. He says it. That's what I do. I can't help myself sometimes. Okay, that's starting to get really creepy. But then the actual problem comes in where he says, when you're a star, you can do anything you want. You can just grab their pussy. He's describing snap sexual decisions where consent at best is a massive gray area. I go, sometimes I can't help it. Let me put some Tic Tacs in. Sometimes I just start kissing them. You know, I just start kissing them. And you can do anything. When you're a star, they let you do anything. Just grab them by the pussy. Now, I don't deny that maybe in Trump's mind, he thinks like, no, totally, they want it. I'm a star. They want it. Do you really know? And do you really care if that they're on the fence about it or they don't want it? Just, floating that. And guess what? Since this story came out, we have reports. They, of course, didn't want it. And he just did it. Which is exactly what he's describing. Yeah, just do it. Yeah, whatever, I'm a star, so they'll accept it. Sometimes I kiss them, sometimes I grab their pussy. Erin Burnett on CNN said a friend of hers was working with Donald Trump on a project. He just started kissing her. She's like, I didn't fucking want it. It was ridiculous. It's this fucking large guy coming at me. He starts kissing me. I didn't want it. Other stories, too. There's been multiple stories now. At least three different stories of women saying, that's actually exactly what he did to me, and I did not want it. Okay, is this a real story? Yeah, this is a real story, because he's basically admitting, I kind of do sexual assault. That's what it is. I kind of do it. Guys, look, don't get me wrong. I've said from the beginning, you can't run a PC outrage-based campaign against Donald Trump. You just can't, because I don't think that works, and I think it's rather stupid. And there are many examples of trying to use the PC outrage against him, like, oh, he curses a lot. That's so not classy. I don't like that. Okay, but whatever, he's an adult, he's running for an adult position. I don't care if he uses bad language. That's not an argument that makes sense. If in this situation, the tape just cut off at the, look, I tried to fuck her. She's married, he's married. Even then, I would say it's okay to point out the hypocrisy for evangelical Christians that they still support him after that, but I wouldn't say it's this really big scandal. But when he's, but the way, what he says is he's kind of admitting that he does sexual assault. Now we have women who say, that's what he did to me and I didn't like it. No, that's a real issue. That's not PC outrage. That's a guy with a really fucked up moral compass. I don't know, and this idea of like, well, guys say that, guys do that. No, they don't. No, they don't. No, they don't. All right, look, I'm no angel by any stretch of the imagination. Believe me, tremendous. I'm not. That was never a thought that ever occurred to me. Let me just fucking randomly kiss women and hope to get away with it, basically. And sometimes I just grab their pussy and I just do it. No! Again, if it was framed in a way where it's crystal clear that he's talking about consensual sex, whatever. He's framing it in a way where he's letting you know, like, it's not, there's a very good chance it wasn't consensual. And now women are saying, yeah, it wasn't consensual. That's a real fucking issue. Now, as a final point, I don't know why this is the story, though, that where it seems like now the straw broke the camel's back. There have been maybe about 10 Republicans who have unendorsed him, you know, across the board. People are expressing outrage over it. Look, I don't know what's up with that, because, to be clear, evangelical Christians still love him. But there are, like, Ralph Reed, is that his name? Yeah, one of the top evangelical guys. He still endorsed him. But some Republicans are leaving him. But I don't get why, like, why was it this and not when he said on Fox and Friends, I want to kill civilians, we have to, quote, take out their families, talking about terrorists. Not just the terrorists, the, quote, families of terrorists. That's the point. In other words, not collateral damage, not, you know, not being totally indiscriminate, but ending up killing civilians. Like, no, on purpose, let's target civilians. The dude said let's target civilians, and there were crickets in the media. The dude said let's bring back torture. I want to bring back worse than waterboarding. I want to torture, quote, even if it doesn't work. There were crickets in the media. The dude said let's pull out of the Geneva Conventions. International law, it doesn't apply to us, and I'm going to admit that it doesn't apply to us. Fucking crickets in the media. Now this, finally the thing. This is finally the thing. I don't understand the selective. Well, actually, you know what? That's not true. I do kind of get it, because this is about sex and this is about personal stuff and it's not about policy, so it doesn't require people to be intelligent and to explain it to the American people. So it's just more of a visceral, like, who he's talking about naughty parts, and then people discuss it as a result of that. And again, don't get me wrong, it is a huge story. He's basically admitting he does sexual assault. But I find it amazing that in the hierarchy, it's like people are putting unwanted sexual advancement, like, above terrorism. Because he said, I want to kill civilians on purpose. It's a weird world that we live in. This does appear to be having an effect. I don't know exactly how much of an effect it will have in terms of the poll numbers. He still is Teflon Don to a certain extent. But it does do damage. It does do damage overall, and it should do damage. I just wish that the other things that also should have done damage did more damage, and people had called for him. Like, there were calls. Some people were saying, drop out, drop out, drop out. I would have liked those calls, too, when he said, let's target civilians. I would have liked those calls, too, when he said, I'm the king of debt, and I would just make a deal on U.S. debt. Like, so you're going to make the U.S. insolvent? That's what you're going to do? causing a worldwide depression. I would have liked Karlstrom to step down when he shows the deepest economic ignorance. He has no clue what the fuck he's talking about. But no, doesn't happen for that, happens for this. I guess I'll take it where I can get it. But it's a strange world we live in where some stories blow up, other stories don't blow up. But yes, is this something that speaks to his character? I don't know how anybody can argue otherwise, and I find a lot of the silly strawmans on this just mind-numbingly stupid. Like, some people on the right are trying to say, oh, yeah, well, everybody's just angry he used the word pussy. No, that's not why people are angry. I'm pretty sure people are angry because absolute best case scenario, he's expressing a massive gray area with consent. He's like, yeah, I just do it. But what's more likely, and now we kind of know because of the women coming out of the woodworks, is there wasn't consent, and he just does it. That's why people are angry. It's not because he used the word pussy, and it's not because he's loose sexually. That's got nothing to do with it. Okay. All right, now finally we get to the debate. Sweet Jesus. What's going on here? Good googly moogly. All right, so yesterday we had the second presidential debate, and it was a giant, giant mess. So let me give you some facts here. This is from Adam Johnson of Fairness and Accuracy in Reporting. He says the total mentions during the debate of poverty, 1, abortion, 1, climate change, 1, gay issues, 0, privacy, 0, so NSA stuff, 0. 11 mentions of ISIS, 34 mentions of Russia, 10 of Iran, and 10 of Assad. Thank you guys so much for caring deeply about a really impoverished mother in Cleveland trying to take care of her two kids, single mother. They're out there, Assad, Iran, Russia, ISIS. Meanwhile, poverty, very little, if not nothing, to say about it. Again, there were no questions. So that was mentions what we were discussing. Now this is questions. There were no questions about abortion, climate change, poverty, gay issues, and the U.S.-backed bombing in Yemen. For those of you who don't know, just a day before the debate, you had the U.S. We back Saudi Arabia. We arm Saudi Arabia, so they're doing it with our weapons. They took out a funeral in Yemen, killing about 140 civilians, wounding hundreds more. With our weapons and our backing, they targeted a funeral. They've also targeted a potato chip factory. They've also targeted mosques. They've also targeted hospitals. They've also targeted schools for the deaf. We got nothing to say about that. Syria, oh my God, let's talk endlessly about the human rights violations because maybe we could do regime change. But when it's our buddies carrying out the human rights violations, everybody shut the fuck up. We got nothing to say about that. They could do what they want. They're our buddy. So sweep it under the rug. All right, now, get this. It took about 25 minutes before the first policy question was asked. I'm not kidding. So I was sitting there watching it. When we were about 15 minutes in, 20 minutes in, I don't think I've ever been more concerned for the future of the United States of America. I don't think I've ever been more concerned. Because I'm sitting there watching it, and we got these two fucking idiots yapping about personal shit. Now, some of those issues are real issues, of course, don't get me wrong. But when you're 25 minutes in to one of the three presidential debates and you haven't even gotten to any policy yet, any policy, that's a disaster. I mean, the first question was like, since kids have to watch the debate for homework assignments, do you guys ever feel bad that maybe you're not setting the right example? Are you classy enough? Do you use naughty language? Do you have a potty mouth? That's basically the question. And obviously that's a question geared towards let's make Hillary look good and let's make Trump look bad. And they went off on that for a little bit. And then, of course, they asked Donald Trump about his scandalous tapes, which, again, it's a real issue. But they spent, you know, over 20 minutes on this, and they didn't get to anything policy-wise. So it was a disaster. Now, let me go ahead and give you some of the numbers here, and then I'll tell you what I think of the debate, who I think won, and why. So we have a few scientific polls that are already out. They're doing these scientific polls directly after the debates now. According to YouGov, 47% say Hillary Clinton won, 42% say Donald Trump won. According to CNN ORC, 57% say Hillary won, 34% say Trump won. Now, it's a little different when you get to the focus groups. They were split, and they're basically split down partisan lines. I think on CNN you had only one person saying Trump won and everybody else saying Hillary won, and then on Fox it was basically the opposite. You had pretty much everybody saying Donald Trump won. So this is another one of those debates, man, where at the end it was very, very close. I did my own poll. I got exactly 50-50 yet again. I think the first debate was exactly 50-50 in the poll. So that's an unscientific poll, obviously. I think when you go to more unscientific polls online, the Snap polls, which I don't think count for nothing, but they don't count more than scientific polls, I think Trump won many of those. So overall, what's my takeaway? At the beginning of the debate, Trump almost got knocked the fuck out. He did. Because they asked the first two questions that the moderators asked were about what he said in these recently released tapes. And the tapes speak for themselves. I mean, not only did he say, I tried to fuck her even though she's married, and he was married at the time too, which is him cheating, but, you know, the evangelicals care about that. I don't know why anybody else should give a fuck about that. But then the problem is when he went on to say, like, yeah, but let me put Tic Tacs in my mouth. Sometimes I just kiss them. I can't help it. It's like a magnet. And they let me do whatever I want because I'm a celebrity. Sometimes I just grab their pussy. Kind of saying best-case scenario consent was a gray area, but more realistically, there just wasn't consent, and he just does that, and he's doing sexual assault. And now we know women have come out and said, no, he did. He sexually assaulted me. So one of the first questions from Anderson Cooper was like, you do realize you bragged about committing sexual assault, right? And he had no answer. In fact, we're going to get to what his answer was in a little bit because it was that bad. So the first two questions being towards that, he sounded like a stupid person. And he sounded like he was bullshitting his way out of it, because he was bullshitting his way out of it. He had no good answer. It does speak poorly on his character. He looked like a giant prick up there, and he is that. So he was basically laying on the ground in a chalk outline of himself, and he was done. In fact, at the beginning of the debate, I thought this debate might be Hillary Clinton first-round knockout, and that's it. It's over. It's over. But then the rest of the debate happened, and in the rest of the debate, save maybe two or three other little parts, I think Trump won. I do. There were many instances where he actually had her on the ropes with a variety of different things, talking about her emails, talking about how she doesn't care about the law, talking about her rich donor friends. So at the beginning, I would have said, there's no way Trump's going to fight back from this. He's done. Then he kind of fought back. So I would say the first 25 minutes, 30 minutes was 100% Hillary Clinton. If anybody watched the first 20 or 25 minutes, they would say, oh, Hillary won, and there's no doubt about it, and they turn off and go to sleep. But if people watch the whole thing, you could walk away saying either one won. And my takeaway is that it was an exact draw. I give it exactly 50-50. I do. I don't think anybody won. I think the polls are going to stay about the same. And as long as people watch the whole debate, I think they would get a sense that Trump kind of bounced back and hit her on trade, hit her on corruption, hit her on her own scandals, successfully muddied the waters with the sexual stuff too. How, you know, I just told you what he did, and that's disastrous, but then what does he say to her? Bill Clinton has the worst history with this stuff compared to any president ever. What this guy did to his accusers and these women was horrific. And I'm not blaming you for that, but you did go after them, downplaying their accusations. So, you know, oh, now all of a sudden you care about sexual indiscretions. Where the fuck was that when it was your husband doing it? So now you don't have to buy that argument, but you just have to understand that in the eyes of many people around the country, they will. And they'll go, well, you know, he has a point there. That, Trump's got some fucked up stuff sexually in his past. Bill Clinton does, too. And Hillary Clinton aided and abetted Bill Clinton in trying to smear the women who accused Bill Clinton. I guess it's a wash. So I'm telling you, 50-50 debate. But Hillary already had a pretty sizable lead going into it. So I think she'll maintain that lead. I don't think I don't think the election's over. But I do think that she's still sitting fairly pretty in her position here. So that's the overall debate breakdown. We're going to get to some specific stuff in a little bit, but it was a wild night, and it certainly was not a good night for the United States of America. Okay. Now, finally we get to the clips 45 minutes in, and I'm just doing the first fucking clips. Donald Trump had to answer for the questionable comments he made about grabbing women by their pussy and kissing women unprovoked. Let's see how he did.
A lot of questions online, Mr. Trump, about the tape that was released on Friday. As you can imagine, you called what you said locker room banter. You described kissing women without consent, grabbing their genitals. That is sexual assault. You bragged that you have sexually assaulted women. Do you understand that?
No, I didn't say that at all. I don't think you understood what was said. This was locker room talk. I'm not proud of it. I apologize to my family. I apologize to the American people. Certainly, I'm not proud of it. But this is locker room talk. You know, when we have a world where you have ISIS chopping off heads, where you have, and frankly, drowning people in steel cages, where you have wars and horrible, horrible sights all over, where you have so many bad things happening. This is like medieval times. We haven't seen anything like this, the carnage all over the world. And they look and they see. Can you imagine the people that are, frankly, doing so well against us with ISIS? And they look at our country and they see what's going on. Yes, I'm very embarrassed by it. I hate it. But it's locker room talk, and it's one of those things. I will knock the hell out of ISIS. We're going to defeat ISIS. ISIS happened a number of years ago in a vacuum that was left because of bad judgment. And I will tell you, I will take care of ISIS.
So, Mr. Trump,
we should get on to much more important things and much bigger things.
Just for the record, though, are you saying that what you said on that bus 11 years ago, that you did not actually kiss women without consent or grope women without consent?
I have great respect for women. Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
So for the record, you're saying you've never
said
did that.
Things that, frankly, you hear these things are said. And I was embarrassed by it, but I have tremendous respect for women.
Have you ever done those things?
Women have respect for me. And I will tell you, no, I have not. And I will tell you that I'm going to make our country safe. We're going to have borders on our country, which we don't have now. People are pouring into our country, and they're coming in from the Middle East and other places. We're going to make America safe again. We're going to make America great again, but we're going to make America safe again. And we're going to make America wealthy again, because if you don't do that, it sounds harsh to say, but we have to build up the wealth of our nation. Right now, other nations are taking our jobs, and they're taking our wealth.
Thank you, Mr. Trump.
And that's what I want to talk about.
That may be the worst answer in debate history. That was at the very beginning of the debate. Woo! That question from Anderson Cooper, the way he framed it, there's no getting out of that one. There's no getting out of that one. In the tape, you say you basically brag about sexually assaulting women. Do you understand that? Like, do you get that? Do you get what you did in that tape? Do you don't understand that? Like, what's going on here, man? Go ahead, answer for this. IFIS! Come on, Don. You got to do better than that, man. Well, look, I'm sorry for that. It's not good. It's bad. We have to understand that ISIS exists. Ladies and gentlemen, ISIS is drowning people in cages right now. They cut people's heads off. Tremendous. Believe me. Let me just tell you. I'm going to make America great again. That's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm going to make America great again. I'm going to make America safe again. I'm going to bring jobs back. Okay, Don, the question is about exactly what you said on the tape. ISIS. You know what this reminds me of? Hillary and Bernie in the primary, when Bernie's like, you kept taking money from fucking Wall Street and these donors, and then obviously you're going to do their bidding. So how are you going to say you're going to be tougher on Wall Street than me? That's preposterous. And Hillary said, you know what? I indeed did take money from them, Bernie. 9/11. Because 9/11. It happened. It happened. 9/11 happened. Are you saying it didn't happen? Ladies and gentlemen, Bernie Sanders does not believe 9/11 happened. 9/11 happened, so they were in New York. New York was attacked. I felt bad for New York, so I take all their money. It's the world's most obvious deflection. I can't answer this, ISIS! I can't answer this 9/11 thing stuff. We're going to make America great again. Whatever. Whatever. So this was the part at the beginning of the debate where he's just laying in a fucking chalk outline of himself on the ground. Like, yep, it is over, isn't it? Yep, this sucks. Yep, I lose. And by the way, to be clear here, I actually agree with the framing of the question because it's true. We now know women have come out, at least three women have come out, and they've said, no, that's right, he sexually assaulted me. He kissed me unprovoked out of nowhere. I was like, what the fuck is happening? Yeah, he grabbed my genitals. That's what he did. That's what he did. And he says, hey, this is what I do. And in his mind, well, they can't say no because I'm a celebrity. So then they don't reject me. Don, if you fucking do it unprovoked out of nowhere, so, of course many women are just going to be shocked, like, what the fuck is happening? But in his mind, like, what do you mean? I'm the Don. I get to do whatever I want. Tremendous. Believe me. So I don't think I've gone after the Clinton administration, the Clinton campaign for using PC outrage against Donald Trump. This isn't PC outrage, man. If you listen to that tape, it's very clear. Best case scenario, he's bragging about a massive gray area of sexual consent. More realistically, and now we know from the people, women who say it, he's just bragging about doing sexual assault, unwanted sexual actions against women, and he's saying, yeah, no, I just do it. Okay, so this was the part of the debate where I say, that's it. It's over. Hillary Clinton won. But actually, believe it or not, as crazy as it sounds, the more the debate went on, he started kind of pummeling her. So, I called the debate a draw overall, but this was the point where Trump was reeling in a way I don't think I've ever seen anybody reeling before. Okay. All right, now let's go to what Trump said he wants to do to Hillary Clinton. Oh, no. It's not grab her by the pussy, but it's pretty bad. Donald Trump went after Hillary Clinton last night in a way that I've never seen before in United States politics.
I didn't think I'd say this, but I'm going to say it, and I hate to say it, but if I win, I am going to instruct my Attorney General to get a special prosecutor to look into your situation, because there has never been so many lies, so much deception. There has never been anything like it. And we're going to have a special prosecutor. When I speak, I go out and speak, the people of this country are furious. In my opinion, the people that have been long-term workers at the FBI are furious. There has never been anything like this, where emails and you get a subpoena. You get a subpoena, and after getting the subpoena, you delete 33,000 emails. And then you acid wash them, or bleach them, as you would say, a very expensive process. So we're going to get a special prosecutor, and we're going to look into it, because you know what? People have been, their lives have been destroyed for doing one-fifth of what you've done, and it's a disgrace. And honestly, you ought to be ashamed of yourself.
Secretary Clinton, I want to follow up on that. I'm going to let you talk about it,
because everything he just said is absolutely false, but I'm not surprised.
In the first debate, and we
really,
the audience needs to calm down here.
I told people that it would be impossible to be fact-checking Donald all the time. I'd never get to talk about anything I want to do and how we're going to really make lives better for people.
So, once again, go to HillaryClinton.com. We have literally Trump. You can fact check him in real time. Last time at the first debate, we had millions of people fact checking. So I expect we'll have millions more fact checking because, you know, it is it's just awfully good that someone with the temperament of Donald Trump is not in charge of the law in our country.
Yeah, because you'd be in jail.
Secretary Clinton.
Yeah, so here's the thing. On that exchange, I've never been more conflicted in my entire life. On the one hand, you really cannot in a modern country, in a civilized nation, have somebody running for president say, I'm going to lock up my political opponent. You can't do it. You can't do it because that's basically, fascism 101. If you're a political opponent of mine, yeah, I'm going to lock you up. The one I'm running against right now, you better hope I don't win, because if I win, I'm going to lock you up. That is just third world backwards shit. And the thing about Donald Trump is, you get the sense that no matter who the fuck he's running against, that he would want to do that. Like, if he wins, it doesn't matter if it's Hillary Clinton or anybody else, yeah, I'm going to try to fucking lock you up. That's what I'm going to do. Unless you say, come on, Kyle, that's not very fair. Dude, look at how he's treated the media. All the evidence points in the direction he would do that. He has stripped press credentials from any and every outlet that has criticized him. The dude's running for president. He's like, I'm not going to act as if the First Amendment, you know, is a thing right now. I'm not going to act as if I'm in government and do what virtually every other campaign does, where they just give whoever wants press credentials, press credentials. He stripped the Washington Post. He stripped Politico. He stripped the National Review, which is a right-wing outlet. Anybody who said bad things about him. He's like, okay, all your press credentials are stripped. The list was over a dozen, you know, media outlets long. But who does get the press credentials? White nationalist radio shows. So, and he said, we're going to open up the libel laws to sue the media when they write bad articles about us. He has sued Bill Maher and The Onion over jokes. So this is a guy who is deeply, deeply authoritarian. And that's not just like a flippant thing that you say because you don't like the person. In Donald Trump's case, it is proven, it's demonstrable, he is incredibly authoritarian. And what he would do with power is crack down on everybody who isn't on Team Trump, because he's already doing it and he's not even in power. He's not even the president of the United States. So for him to say, I'm going to lock up my political opponent, that's unacceptable. That's a line you don't cross. Now, people are making what I think is a bad analogy here, talking about, you know, Obama and how he didn't go after Bush and how many liberals said he should have gone after Bush. Honestly, that's a different scenario because he wasn't running against him right then and there. George W. Bush was the president, and we know he committed war crimes, okay? So I don't. That's not an apt analogy. That's not an apt comparison. On the one hand, you have somebody, him, Dick Cheney, the neocons, who do have massive amounts of blood on their hands, hundreds of thousands of innocent civilians, a torture program, a worldwide spying program, you name it. So that's a different scenario. In the case of Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump, he's running against her right now. So that's a line where you can't cross that line. Now, that's one part of my mind. The other part of my mind is, well, I mean, it is true that the FBI went light on her because she's Hillary Clinton. Like, and I love how the FBI is now pretending that's not the case. Comey's like, I don't know what you mean. Dude, down, freak boy. Like, we heard everything you said. You laid out the case when you gave this announcement. And what did you say? You said, well, look, yeah, there are many instances of her, you know, playing loose with top secret information, classified information, using it behind enemy state lines. You had worse fucking security in it than Gmail. And no reasonable prosecutor would take action against you, though. Why? Because there's intent. There was no bad intent, so what am I going to do? No, that's a new standard. You just made that standard up. Who the fuck cared about? Who said, hey, you know, Edward Snowden, sure, he released all this this information that was classified and top secret, but you know what? His intent was pure. He wanted to do right by the American people. You know, he wanted to let everybody know they're violating your Fourth Amendment rights. The government is acting unconstitutionally. This is illegal. They can't do this. Nobody ever said with Edward Snowden in the government, hey, intent was pure. Nobody ever said with Chelsea Manning, hey, she just released, you know, information about how our government was killing innocent civilians with our money in our name. So her intent was obviously good. She wanted to stop that. Nobody ever said that in the government. They said, I don't give a shit about your intent. We're going to fucking lock you up. Snowden's still hiding away in Russia. Fucking Chelsea Manning's locked up in a cage. So this idea of like, no, I mean, come on. She really is exonerated from that. Well, she's legally exonerated from it, but in terms of whether or not in a fair world, you know, there would be consequences, there would be consequences. So Trump is actually right. And also we're talking about Hillary Clinton. Now, I've argued this before, too. This is a person who voted for the Iraq War. Now, Trump expressed tepid support for the Iraq War on Howard Stern's show. To an extent, you could say he's guilty of it, too. She voted for it, though. She was in power at the time she voted for it. The Iraq War killed hundreds of thousands of civilians. You know, it was an offensive war waged against a country that didn't attack us. Invasion, occupation, jacked the natural resources, so on and so forth. So in my mind, there's an argument for every single fucking asshole who voted for that war should face some kind of consequences. So when I hear the idea of, hey, man, Hillary Clinton, kind of a criminal, on its own, I go, yeah, true, totally true. But when you have it in the context of her opponent in a political race who is already an established authoritarian saying, basically, I will lock up my opponent, well, then all of a sudden you go, oh, even if it's true that she is a criminal, and I argue that's probably true, you have to avoid the optics of that because you're turning America into a banana republic whether or not you realize it. So I don't know. I've never been more conflicted in my life over an exchange here, but it's true that she is a criminal, and it's true that he shouldn't – you can't say that. Like, you just can't say that. I'm going to lock up my political opponent in a race. I think even Trump fans can acknowledge, yeah, that's not a line you cross in a civilized society or in a, what's supposed to be a modern society with a form of government that is democratic where it's like, okay, I don't like my enemy. I don't like my opponent. So what am I going to do? I'll lock you up. So it's a mixed back and forth there. And this is kind of indicative of the entire race and how I felt the entire race. You have somebody like Donald Trump attacking Hillary Clinton for donor connections. You have somebody like Donald Trump hitting Hillary Clinton for her stance on outsourcing deals. It's like, no, totally true. You're right about the donor connections. You're right about the, outsourcing deals. But you also may be worse. So the source of the critique is beyond tainted because this is a guy who outsourced his own jobs to Mexico and China and Turkey. This is a guy who has his own donor connections. So it's like, you're right about the criticism, but they also kind of apply to you. What the fuck is going on here? I'm just confused. Okay. All right, now, let's go to Donald Trump complaining about the moderators. Because I think there's an interesting story here in this. Donald Trump repeatedly complained about the moderators at last night's debate. Let me give you one example of that here, and then we'll discuss.
We have a question here from Ken Karpowitz. He has a question about health care. Ken?
I'd like to know, Anderson, why aren't you bringing up the emails? I'd like to know. Why aren't you getting
brought up the emails?
No, it hasn't. It hasn't. And it hasn't been finished at all.
Ken Karpowitz has a question.
It's nice to one on three.
Now, that's just one example. There are other examples of him saying, oh, what's going on? She just went a minute over her time, and you didn't cut her off. I go a second over, you cut me off. What's going on here? What's going on? And I find that example I played for you particularly funny because they're finally discussing some sort of substance. They're like, okay, question on health care. Let's go to somebody in the audience here. He's like, why? Well, emails. Emails. Tremendous. Believe me. Now, don't get me wrong. I think that email story is a real story. But the optics of when a guy says, let's discuss health care now, and a really substantive issue that affects people's lives in a direct way. He's like, but I'd rather discuss this other thing, which might affect your lives less. Tremendous. Believe me. Okay, so, and you heard it, one on three, great. He did this all night, super dismissive of the media, whining over and over like a bitch. But that gets to the main point here, is that as I'm watching that, I'm going, this guy is fucking, like weak and is oozing out of every pore of his body, and it's so biased against me. I don't like it. I can't fight it on my own. Sean Hannity, can I tag you in? Is this a WWE tag team match? So that's the sense I got from it. But as I'm watching it, I go, there's no doubt in my mind. His supporters will spin it as strength. Because they spin everything he does as strength. Guys, he skipped out on a primary debate because Megyn Kelly was going to be there and she was going to hold his punk-ass feet to the fire. So what did he do? He said, I'm not going. No, because they don't treat Trump fairly. And he said, and he went and did a fundraiser for veterans, where, by the way, he lied about how much he gave them. Stay classy, Don. But he skipped out because the moderators were going to be too hard on him. That is the biggest bitch move I've ever seen in my life. And what did his supporter say? Don is so strong. Look at him standing up to the media. How is that strength? That's not strength. So it's the same thing here. Fucking media is so biased against Trump. And by the way, overall, the moderators did a bad job in the questions that they asked. Like, they didn't ask anything about climate change and super important issues, poverty. So they were bad in that respect. But in terms of the questions that they did ask, they did pretty well in within the context of what they chose to ask. So bad choices for what to ask, but when they asked what they asked, then they did a good job of holding their feet to the fire. So, for example, you had the question about, you know, Trump's tapes, which was fair game. But then you also had Hillary Clinton. They got to her Wall Street transcripts, and they held her feet to the fire on the Wall Street transcripts. So for, it's not even true in this instance that it's like, oh, 1-on-3, oh. It's not true. So, but that's Trump 101. Be massively weak, and your idiot followers will spin it as strength. Well, let me ask you guys a question. On what planet is it strength to sue the Onion over a satire article? On what planet is it strength to sue Bill Maher over a joke he made? On what planet is it strength to have a media blacklist where you ban outlets that are tough on you? How's that strength? How's it strength to say, let's open up the libel laws and sue the media when they write articles that I don't like? How's that strength? How's that strength? That's not strength. That's the opposite of strength. So if a whiny left-wing college kid did exactly what Trump has done, everybody on the right would say that is the ultimate social justice warrior, bitch, PC police moron. Oh, your feelings are hurt, so you're suing people over jokes? How about you get the fuck over it and you understand what free speech is, motherfucker? How about that? That's what all of them would say. But when it's their daddy Trump, all of a sudden they forget that PC police and social justice warriors are a thing, because in this case, it's a right-wing social justice warrior. So when you're being a whiny bitch and we agree with you politically, we love it. We love it. And that's what you get here. So this is classic Trumpism, weakness masquerading as strength, and somehow people fall for it. Okay, now, let's go to healthcare. Trump laid out what he wants to do with healthcare at the debate last night. Let's listen.
Obamacare is a disaster. You know it. We all know it. It's going up at numbers that nobody's ever seen worldwide. Nobody's ever seen numbers like this for healthcare. It's only getting worse. In 17, it implodes by itself. Their method of fixing it is to go back and ask Congress for more money, more and more money. We have right now almost $20 trillion in debt. Obamacare will never work. It's very bad. Very bad health insurance.
Yes, very bad, very bad.
Expensive. And not only expensive for the person that has it, unbelievably expensive for our country. It's going to be one of the biggest line items very shortly.
That's made up.
We have to repeal it and replace it with something absolutely much less expensive and something that works, where your plan can actually be tailored. We have to get rid of the lines around the state, artificial lines, where we stop insurance companies from coming in and competing, because they wanted President Obama and whoever was working on it, they want to leave those lines because that gives the insurance companies essentially monopolies. We want competition. You will have the finest health care plan there is. She wants to go to a single-payer plan, which would be a disaster, somewhat similar to Canada. And if you ever notice, the Canadians, when they need a big operation, when something happens, they come into the United States in many cases, because their system is so slow. It's catastrophic in certain ways. But she wants to go to single payer, which means the government basically rules everything. Hillary Clinton has been after this for years. Obamacare was the first step. Obamacare is a total disaster. And not only are your rates going up by numbers that nobody's ever believed, but your deductibles are going up, so that unless you get hit by a truck, you're never going to be able to use it. It is a disastrous plan, and it has to be repealed and replaced.
Okay, so he spoke for a while there. There are only two ideas that are embedded in that, and two policy things you can ascertain from that. So it's classic Trump. Ramble on and on and on and on, and people got to try to find the nugget of any policy, if there is policy in what you said. So the policy is get rid of the lines around the states. I love how in the mind of the far right, that's the cure-all for healthcare. Just get rid of the lines around the states. What are you talking about? Just get rid of the lines around the states. And what they mean is let health insurance companies go to whatever state they want to go. And they think, oh, this will increase competition, so it'll be better and prices will fall. What will actually happen? All the health insurance companies will simply move to the state where they pay the lowest state tax and set up shop there so that they can save money and pad the bottom line and make more profit. That is the only thing that will happen. If you allow health insurance companies to, you know, move along to wherever state they want to go and people can buy across state lines, that's the only thing that's going to happen. So that's a massive, gigantic giveaway to the health insurance companies as he's pretending like, you know, no, this is going to improve your health care. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. Now, the other policy thing we could take away from this is he says, Hillary wants single payer. Single payer. Bad. Sad. Okay, no, she doesn't. I wish she did. She wants maybe, at least she says she wants, I don't even know if I believe it, the public option. Better than what we have now, but, you know, again, I don't know if I believe her that she even wants that. But the idea that single payer is bad, okay, according to every study done on this, the single payer healthcare systems around the world repeatedly rank as the best systems in the world. So no matter how much people on the right try their best, oh my God, I'm going to, you know, try to will my stupid ideas into reality, they are just not true. All the time, the single-payer healthcare systems rank better. Guys, in the United States, 45,000 people die every year because they don't have access to basic healthcare. Basic healthcare. What's that number in Canada? Zero. What's that number in France? Zero. What's that number in Britain? Zero. What's that number in Australia? Zero. It doesn't exist because anybody can get basic health care. Now, he's complaining about wait times. What's he not telling you? The wait times only apply to elective procedures. Now, don't get me wrong. You know, if you want an elective procedure, that can be pretty fucking annoying. But what does that mean? It means that they are prioritizing based on actual need of care. Whereas here, we prioritize based on who's rich. Which is why it's actually true that you have, like, Saudi fucking princes coming here for healthcare. Because they're massively rich! So if you're super rich, yeah, we have the best healthcare in the world! If you're middle class, no you don't! We actually have one of the worst systems in the modern world. If you're poor, oh, forget it. So, those are the only things you could take away from what he said. His idea is to get rid of the lines around the states, which wouldn't do anything but help the insurance companies, as he pretends to be against that. And single payer is bad, which it's not. It's great. And then just the idea of, like, fuck Obamacare, it's bad. No, Obamacare is a massive mixed bag. In many ways, it is bad, and there are gaps in it. There's a gap between the Medicaid expansion and where the exchanges pick up, and there's a gap on the higher end of the exchanges. But yeah, for it has been very good for a lot of people, and furthermore, yes, costs are going up, and that's bad. But that disregards, we don't know what the cost would have been if it wasn't in place. It very well could have been more, and it was on the trajectory to be more. So totally un-nuanced view of the world here. And by the way, final point, he goes on to say later on a plan that he would do would expand Medicaid. You know what expands Medicaid? Obamacare. Obamacare is so bad, it's so terrible, it's horrendous. Let me just tell you, believe me. I say we repeal it and replace it with Obamacare. Okay. Good googly moogly. Still going on, no break, man. That's how we roll. Like a boss. All right, I got to get to Syria. The Syria back and forth was super important. Trump and Hillary went at it on the issue of Syria. Let's watch the entire exchange, and then we'll discuss.
The heartbreaking video of a 5-year-old Syrian boy named Amran sitting in an ambulance after being pulled from the rubble after an airstrike in Aleppo focused the world's attention on the horrors of the war in Syria, with 136 million views on Facebook alone. But there are much worse images coming out of Aleppo every day now, where in the past few weeks alone, 400 people have been killed, at least 100 of them children. Just days ago, the State Department called for a war crimes investigation of the Syrian regime of Bashar al-Assad and its ally, Russia, for their bombardment of Aleppo. So this next question comes from social media through Facebook. Diane from Pennsylvania asks, if you were president, what would you do about Syria and the humanitarian crisis in Aleppo? Isn't it a lot like the Holocaust where the U.S. waited too long before we helped? Secretary Clinton, we will begin with your 2 minutes.
Well, the situation in Syria is catastrophic. And every day that goes by, we see the results of the regime by Assad in partnership with the Iranians on the ground, the Russians in the air, bombarding places, in particular Aleppo, where there are hundreds of thousands of people, probably about 250,000 still left. And there is a determined effort by the Russian Air Force to destroy Aleppo in order to eliminate the last of the Syrian rebels who were really holding out against the Assad regime. Russia hasn't paid any attention to ISIS. They're interested in keeping Assad in power. So I, when I was Secretary of State, advocated, and I advocate today, a no-fly zone and safe zones. We need some leverage with the Russians because they're not going to come to the negotiating table for a diplomatic resolution unless there is some leverage over them. And we have to work more closely with our partners and allies on the ground. But I want to emphasize that what is at stake here is the ambitions and the aggressiveness of Russia. Russia has decided that it's all in Syria, and they've also decided who they want to see become president of the United States, too, and it's not me.
She talks tough. She talks really tough against Putin. And against Assad. She talks in favor of the rebels. She doesn't even know who the rebels are. You know, every time we take rebels, whether it's in Iraq or anywhere else, we're arming people. And you know what happens? They end up being worse than the people. Look at what she did in Libya with Gaddafi. Gaddafi's out. It's a mess. And by the way, ISIS has a good chunk of their oil. I'm sure you probably have heard that. It was a disaster. Because the fact is, almost everything she's done in foreign policy has been a mistake, and it's been a disaster. So she wants to fight. She wants to fight for rebels. There's only one problem. You don't even know who the rebels are.
Mr. Trump,
so
Mr.
What's
Trump,
the purpose?
You're 2 minutes
And one thing
up.
I have to say,
you're 2 minutes
I don't like
up.
Assad at all, but Assad is killing ISIS. Russia is killing ISIS, and Iran is killing ISIS. And those three have now lined up because of our weak foreign policy.
Okay. They're killing ISIS and Al-Qaeda and Al-Nusra with massive civilian casualties, so let's be fair, because that's totally true. But yeah, they are killing them. Okay. In that exchange, it's not even close. Donald Trump has the better position and the more liberal position. Not even close. It's not even close. Now, there were a few edits there, and to be fair, in between in those parts there, he does say some stupid shit. Like, at one point, he randomly starts ripping the Iran deal in the middle of the Syria conversation, which on that front, Donald Trump is 100% wrong. Hillary Clinton is 100% right, saying, let's keep the Iran deal. The Iran deal is good, it's better, yada, yada, yada. And he's like, no, I'll rip it up. So on Iran, it flips, and Hillary's right, he's wrong. But on the issue of Syria, Hillary's pretty much as bad as it gets. I mean, so let's break this down. The framing of the question was massively right-wing. It's like a neocon think tank came up with the wording of that question. They basically said, Secretary Clinton, isn't the Syrian government like Nazi Germany? Your thoughts. Notice how it's hilarious. Syria, oh my God, should we do regime change? Oh my God, we got a humanitarian crisis. Humanitarian crisis, we care so much. The day before this debate, the Saudi government, with weapons we gave them, attacked a funeral in Yemen where minimum 140 civilians are dead and you have hundreds of people injured as well. They've attacked a potato chip factory in Yemen. They've attacked mosques, hospitals, schools for the blind. They're targeting civilians on purpose. Over 50% of the dead are civilians. They're using chemical weapons, which is against international law. They're using cluster bombs, which is against international law because it kills massive numbers of civilians. Not only do we not care about the humanitarian crisis, over 50% of Yemen is starving right now. There's a fucking famine going on, and we're letting Saudi Arabia blockade it. You don't care about the humanitarian crisis. If you did, that's the first thing you would do, because you can actually affect that in an easier way. All you have to do is say, we're cutting off your weapons. Okay, we're cutting off your weapons, and we're also not going to help you in bombing anymore. And if you really want to get serious, sanction them. But not only do they not talk about any of that, the idea of maybe doing military action against Saudi Arabia to do regime change because they're doing a humanitarian crisis never enters the conversation. Of course not. That'd be fucking crazy. So why isn't it crazy with Assad? Why isn't it crazy? You have the Saudi regime doing some atrocities, the Assad government, some would argue, doing some atrocities. Only one we focus on. Oh, my God, oh, my God, regime change. Why? Because it ain't about the fucking humanitarian crisis and altruism and being the world police. It's about the geopolitical situation. Assad is aligned with Russia. Assad is aligned with Iran. As Hillary admits and says, well, what this is really about is Russia and the geopolitical chessboard. And we can't have them with an ally in Syria, so that's why we got to topple the Syrian government. She basically admits what it's really about in the debate. So it's got nothing to do with the humanitarian crisis. That's a cover. That is a cover. If they cared about a humanitarian crisis, stop arming Israel to the tune of $38 billion as they fucking do an apartheid state and take more and more Palestinian land. Stop arming Saudi Arabia, who says all atheists are terrorists and they behead people in the public square for sorcery and apostasy and drug crimes and witchcraft. Okay, so nothing about Yemen, but Syrian government, Nazi Germany, that's what they're like. Also, by the way, you care so much about humanitarian crisis, and not a word about the Congo, not a word about South Sudan, not a word about Burundi, not a word about Mali, where northern Mali is basically Al-Qaeda-stan, not a word about North Korea. Oh, my God, the regime change in Syria. Okay, and then she goes on to say, well, look, I'm in favor of a no-fly zone and a safe zone. Now, later on, she says, oh, I don't want to put ground troops in there. Hillary, a no-fly zone and a safe zone requires ground troops. In fact, it requires tens of thousands of ground troops to accomplish it. And the worst part of all is, she says we need to do this to have leverage with Russia. This is going to fucking give you leverage? You're escalating to World War III needlessly. Because you're fine with sending young men and women from Kentucky and Nebraska to die over Aleppo. Well, guess what? We're not fine with that. Stop with your hawkish bullshit. We're tired of it. And then Trump rightly says, you don't even know who the fucking rebels are. You want to arm the rebels. Are you kidding me? Yes, the rebels are Al-Qaeda, Al-Nusra, who said recently, we broke up with them and now we're moderate. I'm not kidding. They're trying to do a rebrand. Sure, we were their official affiliate in the region, but now we broke up with them, so we're moderate? You want to give us weapons? We already tried to arm rebels. Guess what happened? They went into Syria. They immediately handed over their weapons to Al-Qaeda. We did a program to find moderate rebels. We found literally like four people. I'm not joking about that. I am not joking. ISIS is one of the biggest rebel groups as well. So you want to arm the rebels. That's the same mistake we made over and over. Ronald Reagan made it with the Mujahideen in Afghanistan. Arm them because they'll fight the big bad Soviet Union. And then, boom, they broke up into the Taliban and Al-Qaeda. They used the weapons against us. And then final point is this. Dude. What's the lesson? What's the main lesson of Libya and Iraq? What is it? Okay, look, there could be some really bad dudes, really bad, sometimes authoritarian leaders in these countries. Really bad. But you know what? It turns out, if we do intervention and we topple those leaders, it gets worse. What fills the vacuum is worse than what already is. Every liberal on the planet looks at Iraq and now says that. Why would we topple it? Nobody's defending Saddam. We're not defending Saddam. We all hate Saddam. That's a given. The question is, what will replace him, and will it be worse, and will it lead to more death, more destruction, more problems? The answer was yes. Never mind the fact they didn't attack us, so we invaded a country that didn't attack us, and we toppled them. Same thing with Syria. You want to topple Assad. Assad's not attacking us. He's not about to attack us. He's got no plans to fucking attack us. So you're admitting, this isn't a defensive war. We're gonna be on the offense here. We're going to do the same thing we did in Iraq. Libya, yeah, topple the government. Oh, Gaddafi, so bad. Yeah, agree. So bad, terrible. That doesn't necessitate us doing intervention and fucking toppling him and maybe making the situation worse. This is the same lesson. We just learned this fucking lesson. And Hillary Clinton, who now says, oh, I'm so sorry about Iraq, I learned my lesson, is like, okay, when do we do regime change in Syria? The rhetoric from Donald Trump on Syria was just flat out better than Hillary Clinton. It wasn't even close. It wasn't even close. Now, to be fair, I don't think he has any fucking clue what he's talking about, and he's just arguing the counterpoint to whatever Hillary's arguing. So Hillary's more hawkish. He's like, okay, now I'm less hawkish. Like on the Iran deal, she's less hawkish, so he gets more hawkish. No, I'll rip up the deal. I'll fucking escalate. So I don't think he knows what he's doing, but there's no doubt his rhetoric there was better. And Mike Pence last week was the opposite. Let's escalate with Syria. Let's escalate with Russia. And Trump's like, no, let's do the opposite. So there's no cohesion. There's, you know, tapes of Donald Trump clearly not knowing the difference between Sunni and Shia. There's tapes of him not knowing the difference between Hamas and Hezbollah. So he's an idiot. Don't get me wrong. And he's a lunatic. But Hillary is so bad on Syria that she somehow made Donald Trump look reasonable. Okay, I only got time for one more. Let's do it, bitch. Hillary Clinton was asked about some of her terrible comments in her Wall Street transcripts. Let's see how she handles it.
This question involves WikiLeaks' release of purported excerpts of Secretary Clinton's paid speeches, which she has refused to release, and one line in particular in which you, Secretary Clinton, purportedly say you need both a public and private position on certain issues. So, two, from Virginia, asks, is it okay for politicians to be two-faced? Is it acceptable for a politician to have a private stance on issues? Secretary Clinton, well, your 2 minutes.
Right. As I recall, that was something I said about Abraham Lincoln after having seen the wonderful Steven Spielberg movie called Lincoln. It was a masterclass watching President Lincoln get the Congress to approve the 13th Amendment. It was principled and it was strategic. And I was making the point that it is hard sometimes to get the Congress to do what you want to do, and you have to keep working at it. And yes, President Lincoln was trying to convince some people. He used some arguments. Convincing other people, he used other arguments. That was a great, I thought, a great display of presidential leadership. But, you know, let's talk about what's really going on here, Martha, because our intelligence community just came out and said in the last few days that the Kremlin, meaning Putin and the Russian government, are directing the attacks, the hacking on American accounts to influence our election. And WikiLeaks is part of that, as are other sites where the Russians hack information. We don't even know if it's accurate information, and then they put it out. We have never in the history of our country been in a situation where an adversary, a foreign power, is working so hard to influence the outcome of the election. And believe me, they're not doing it to get me elected.
Sure, I said some fucked up things in my Wall Street transcripts. On the other hand, Putin. Vladimir Putin. Kremlin. Putin. Putin.
10 seconds.
Okay, Hillary, you sound ridiculous. You have to pivot to talking about the Kremlin and Putin because you said some fucked up shit in your Wall Street transcripts. Stop. It's transparent. This is like Trump earlier, where he's like, Mr. Trump, you basically bragged about committing sexual assault. Oh, yeah? ISIS. No. Stop. It's so obvious what you're doing. Now, furthermore, when she brought up the Lincoln excuse, dude, that's not an apt comparison and an apt analogy, because what did Lincoln do? Lincoln didn't have a public position and a private position. He had different private positions to do political arm twisting behind closed doors to get people to vote on his side. That's what he did, and that's fine. I argue for that all the time. I argue for the Democrats to be aggressive in getting their goals accomplished all the time. But that's different from having a public position or a private position. No, a public position or a private position is, I'm against TPP. Vote for me, please. I'm progressive and stuff. And then behind closed doors, you're like, okay, anyway, where's TPP at? Let's tweak this provision and that provision, and then I'll say it's not TPP anymore, it's better, and then I'll sell it and I'll be in favor of it. That's a public position and a private position. That is being two-faced. That is being a liar. What Lincoln did is he said, look, man, you got to vote this way or your career is over. And for you, okay, I'll use a principled argument for you because you're on my side more generally, you're in my party, and that might work. But this other person, I'll twist arms, bitch. So that's different private positions, not a public and private position that's different. It's so hacky. And guys, this really is the single worst candidate to run against Donald Trump. Any other candidate would be up 15 percentage points. Fucking Martin O'Malley, who has the gravitas of a wet dish towel. He would be up 15 points on Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton isn't because she has so much baggage. And they said Bernie Sanders would be weak against him. Bernie Sanders would have eaten his fucking lunch because he doesn't have this dirt on him. He's principled and he's right. All right, guys, I'm out of time. I love you. Love you, baby. All right, we'll see you tomorrow. Excited for the week. Mwah. I'm out.